Hey everyone, I'm Nick.
And I'm Helena, and we both work at the MS Trust, a charity for people affected by MS in the UK. We are here to help you make sense of MS.
Thanks so much for joining us on our podcast, Multiple Sclerosis Breaking It Down. Today we've got a bit of a different topic from our last episode where we looked at preparing for a neurologist appointment. Today we're going to talk about how to make the most of an appointment with an MS nurse.
So we thought this would follow on quite nicely after talking about how to prepare for a neurologist meeting. Maybe we need to talk about what's the difference between these two type of meetings. So yes, now it is the nurse's turn.
Yeah, so if you're thinking, like, I've just listened to the last episode, I know how to prepare for that meeting, I don't need to listen to this episode, hold your horses, stay right with us, please, because specialist nurses and neurologists fulfill two very different roles. So in terms of a nurse today, so we're going to be thinking about what they can offer. So they can help you with information, direct support. They're probably going to be the main point of contact for you as a person living with MS. And they'll also be able to offer, you know, clinical advice. They might be able to connect you with different services, so such as, you know, physiotherapists, other doctors. So seeing your nurse gives you that opportunity to make those connections, to ask some direct questions, talk about your treatment options, and help you manage MS.
Mm. The MS nurse's role is extremely important in the sort of the MS healthcare team where you meet. They're kind of like the hub of everything, really. But we are aware, as with the neurologist appointments, that people might struggle to get an appointment with their nurse. Or if you're newly diagnosed, you might have to wait some time before you get to see, you know, your first appointment. And I know, you know, we're talking a lot about how the NHS is struggling now, but I think I was, I was diagnosed back in 2007, and I still had to wait, I think, about 3 months before I got to see my nurse that first time. And, you know, you're bursting with questions by this. So I think this episode will be really there for you to help you kind of think about what you want to say that first time. But if you're already diagnosed with MS, you might have had MS for years, this is still relevant for you.
Yeah, and let's not sugarcoat the situation, Helena. Like, we know the NHS is really facing some huge challenges right now. We know that there are going to be lots of people in the same situation that you're in, of waiting months, if not sometimes 12 months or longer for these appointments. So we know that people are dealing with these issues. So, you know, we're aware of that. And hopefully today, not only will you'll get some ideas of sort of what to ask your MS nurse when you do finally get to that appointment time, but also hopefully we'll have some helpful ideas that you can do sort of whilst you're waiting for that appointment and in preparation for that appointment too. And I think also we'll look at the differences between the nurse and the neurologist appointment, and we'll think about, you know, what you should ask your nurse that maybe, you know, you wouldn't ask your neurologist, and vice versa, how you can really connect with that person and build that long-term relationship over the course of your journey too. So important.
And I think we've got the perfect person that we're chatting with today as well. So it's long-time MS nurse, Lou Jarrett. When we were asking our colleagues, who should we talk to for this? We want to talk to an MS nurse who's been working for a while. Everyone said Lou. And she's worked as a specialist MS nurse for a long time, but she's also helped us out with training new nurses. So we'll be talking a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, and also dropping in later, Helena, we've also got Erica, our colleague from the MS Trust. So she's going to talk to Lou too, and she's going to talk a little bit about what we do at the MS Trust to support MS nurses in the UK and other MS health professionals. But I think first, Helena, we should probably jump in with your interview with Lou. So without any further ado, let's jump in.
I am here today with Lou, who is a highly experienced MS nurse who knows all about MS nursing. Before we start, Lou, would you mind just introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Helena. Thank you to the MS Trust for asking me to join you today and to talk about MS nursing. So who am I? Well, I've got over 30 5 years, I think it is now, in working in neurology, and predominantly with people with multiple sclerosis. So initially I was a rehabilitation nurse, then I moved into being a spasticity specialist nurse, and then for the last 12 years I've been a MS nurse specialist. And during this time I've also studied, and I've done a PhD looking at my role as a specialist nurse, and I've published, and right now I've repurposed my time from the NHS, and I am now working with or spending some time working with the MS Trust, training new nurses and new healthcare practitioners in MS. So with all of that experience, that's why I'm here today, to talk about what MS nurses do.
And it's exciting to have you helping us with the training as well, because obviously all that knowledge that you gathered over the years, it's invaluable. So we're very excited to have you working with us.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Now, today we're here to talk a little bit about how we can prepare for an MS nurse appointment. And the previous podcast we did, we talked about how to prepare for a neurologist appointment. So my first question is actually, what's the main difference between a nurse appointment and a neurologist appointment?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good question, Helena. And I think to do that, though, I think I'm going to go back and let us think about what actually happens when a referral comes in. So very often a GP will refer a person into a neurology department in the NHS asking for a review. And at that point, the person will see a neurologist, and the neurologist is then starting the process of a diagnostic route, really, what is causing that person's symptoms. So that will involve a neurological examination, perhaps some tests like an MRI, and perhaps some blood tests as well. So at that point, the appointments are all about trying to understand what is happening to that person. But once a neurologist starts to get an idea, they might then refer to a specialist nurse for more support and more information. But there are lots of neurology specialist nurses, like Parkinson's, motor neurone disease, and of course for us, multiple sclerosis. But I also want to say that there are some services where nurses cover several conditions. And so it's not uncommon for a person with MS who may be looked after by a neurology specialist nurse. Let's think about it. So from this, we can see that the neurologist is very much involved with the diagnostic process. And the MS nurse role at that point is to really focus on how is the person now going to live? How are they going to manage symptoms whilst encompassing now a neurological condition? And more simply, I guess I say an MS specialist nurse is there to journey with the person with MS. So that's like those initial appointments, but then we get the follow-up appointments. And for a neurologist, they are very much using those appointments to reassess the person's neurology, so maybe doing another neurological examination and tests, etc. And they will then make recommendations, and that might be to do with some rehabilitation strategies, or it might be to do with medication. So an MS nurse follow-up, we'll look at those recommendations with the person with MS and think about, again, how can they be best incorporated into the person's lifestyle. And also they will be assessing the person's symptoms, because sometimes neurologists might not pick up some things and sometimes the nurses might not pick up things. So it's very much a joint effort, really. And the MS nurse is very much a link between the neurologist, but also the community teams and the GP. So I think if we really now just specially, you know, look really at the MS nurse specialist role, I think the ongoing appointments are really important. And that's mainly because people change. We all change as time goes on. And how we want to manage our MS might change. And also, dare I say it, but we all age. And so, you know, ongoing conversations with your MS nurse about the way you want to live your life over time is also important. And, you know, and sometimes it's where you are in your life's journey with MS. And I often think about, and I know our team get very excited, because sometimes these events are very positive. For instance, we really get excited when somebody's, we're welcoming in a new life to a person with MS and they have a baby. And that's particularly exciting if it's been quite a difficult process, timing their disease modifying therapy and their treatments. So it's as I say, we're journeying with people. But in addition, how MS symptoms affect a person's life is really unpredictable. We all know that with MS, it's very unpredictable. So again, reviewing your management strategies over time can be helpful. MS nurses have been described as experts in MS, conductors of care, being able to signpost individuals, and we do all that. But I think there's something also much more about being with people and being available to those people to discuss things. As I practice, we're always aiming to build trusting relationships to enable a person with MS to make choices about how they live their lives, not how we want them to live their lives. And I think I'm smiling at this point because I know often it seems, or it's actually been said, that nurses just chat with patients. And I always bristle a little bit because we do more than chatting. And at the recent development module, we discussed that MS specialist nurses don't just chat with people. But what do we do? And we came up with this list that I thought I'd share with you. We listen. We assess. We measure. We review. We educate, we advise, we monitor, and we support. And I think when we looked at that list, we really thought it's no wonder we can feel rushed sometimes because the MS nurse's role is pretty multifaceted, really.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think I've always appreciated, I see a few different nurses, but I think most of the nurses that I've seen at my clinic, they always like to follow up with emails as well. So sometimes if I haven't done my part, you know, when I need to sort of, I was going to try and get myself referred on to a different thing, that they dropped it in an email and through me and said, have you done this yet? And then I was like, oh, no, I need to do it. So it's like, nice. It's that ongoing conversation that you have with the nurse, which the neurologist, you just tend to see that once a year. It's not, I've never had like that kind of ongoing conversation with a neurologist as I do with the nurse. And I think
that's a good way of putting it.
So a lot of people that listen to this podcast are completely new to MS. They might be in the process of getting diagnosed. And we've seen so many people recently on social media that are just asking, I'm seeing the MS nurse for the first time. What do I need to do? How can I prepare for this? And what should I expect? So I think maybe we could talk a little bit about that first initial appointment.
And I really understand that because, you know, if you're new to healthcare, really, sometimes what, you know, you've seen the neurologist, you've got a diagnosis. Why on earth, some people walk in and say, why on earth do I need to see a nurse? So I think the first thing I say is what the opportunity that seeing the nurse does is give you time. And time to explore, you know, what really is this MS? How is it going to impact on me? Now, I know that if you're feeling really vulnerable, the last thing you probably want to do is think about MS and what it might be doing to you. So I often start these appointments with, you know, we can talk as much or as little about MS as you want. And try and be guided by the person, because everybody will be in a different place with their MS and where they're at and what they want to talk about. And as a nurse, really, it's about listening to the person, as I said earlier, and really trying to understand what they want to know. But as a minimum, what I like them to leave the room with is contact details and the contact details of their MS nurse and how they can get hold of them. But, you know, that all that said, I think mostly in these early appointments, people do start to talk about their MS and they do start to open up a little bit. And I think importantly, MS nurses have knowledge and expertise, and we can unpick any questions that you're thinking about, or maybe the neurologist said something that doesn't quite add up, or you don't understand what they were meaning. So it's a real time to try and unpick anything that isn't quite making sense to you.
how can people prepare for these meetings?
Yeah.
Because it's quite, you know, there's a lot of things. And like you say, there might be a lot of emotions that you might not want to talk. You might want to say everything, you know, how can we? Because it's a very limited time. I don't know. How long is it normally a first appointment?
Yeah. Now, this is when I don't really, you know, I have to be careful because I know sometimes people are very restricted by the time that they can have. So I'm going to say this is the appointment that I say to nurses, give the most time to, because it's probably the most important one to start building relationships. And it can't really be done in 10 minutes or half an hour. I think when we're thinking about what we're aiming to do, it's about being supportive and educational, and that the person knows the next step in their treatment and, as I said, the contact details. So, but how can they prepare? What I really want them, what I really love is when people come in with a list. Yeah, they've come in with a list of questions or things that have just not made sense. And I don't know any other nurse that, you know, doesn't mind somebody coming in with a list. And, you know, even I think when you then leave, we know that we've tried to answer the questions that really matter to you. So it can just make the whole thing feel successful, really. But, you know, I think I was listening to Dr. Stokina's podcast too on preparing for a neurology appointment. And she mentions about thinking about whether you want to take somebody with you. And I think that's really good advice because, you know, you might want somebody to just share that experience with you, but also to listen and perhaps remind you of what was said. I do know there's some restrictions still in some hospitals about how many people can visit, so it might be worth checking. So if you do end up on your own, you can always ask if you can record the session so you can listen to it later. Or I know I've got a reputation for writing very long letters, but that's because I'm trying to summarize what we've talked about. And also then hopefully it becomes an education tool for the person in the longer term. So I think preparing is all about, it's an appointment for you as well as it is for the MS nurse getting to know you.
That's really good way of looking at it. I think when I was first diagnosed, I had to wait quite a few months before I got to see my MS nurse. And I do remember speaking to her on the phone and she said, every time you get a question, carry around a pen and paper with you. And even if you're standing in Tesco or whatever, write it down. And then you bring that whole list to me when I see you. And that's what I did. And I don't know if she regretted saying that to me because it was a long list by that time, but it did help.
Honestly, we do love a list, honestly.
That's good. Are there any questions that you can't answer?
I really love that question. So I think I wouldn't want a person with MS to feel restricted in asking any question, because no question is a stupid question if it's something you want to know. So I really encourage people to ask their questions. But just a little caveat there is that the MS nurse may say to you, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I will find out for you. And I'm certainly, when I'm sort of teaching new nurses, I say it's so important to be honest, because you're trying to build a rapport with a person that you are going to be working with for perhaps many years. And so trust is really important, and honesty is the basis of trust. So yes, please ask any question, but be aware that, you know, it might be that the person's going to say, no, I don't know, but I'll find out and get back to you.
So as we know, the NHS is struggling a little bit at the moment. Well, it's on the news all the time, isn't it? And that because the waiting list to see a health professional is so long, why can you turn to with questions while you wait?
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to reassure people that we are very conscious about the waiting lists, and there is a lot of work going on within the NHS to address those. However, I'm not sure really focusing on them helps us. And I know the government and the media are constantly talking about waiting lists, but for me, I think they just provoke anxiety sometimes. Yeah. And what I worry about then is that people with MS think, oh, the services are so busy, I won't contact them. I won't ask for help. And that's really not what we want. So I think the key thing for a person with MS is to know how their MS nurse service works and how to contact them. So most MS nurse services will have appointments that we're used to, like face-to-face or virtual on the video, or they might do a telephone appointment. But in addition, they also have an advice line where you can leave a message and say, oh, could somebody chat to me about this? And the nurses will get back to you. And I think that's a really valuable way of just keeping in contact with your MS nurse. And I think one plea from the MS nurses around I know is that if you do leave a message, can you just highlight a little bit about what you're leaving a message for? And in particular, if you're feeling like you're having an increase in symptoms that might be a relapse, and say that. Or if you think you're reacting to some medication, then let us know that. Because I think it's really important when we're trying to triage the calls to know a little bit about what each person is wanting us for. And I think also to say that we work really closely with the community teams, GPs, community rehab teams, physios, OTs, district nurses. So sometimes it might be that we facilitate somebody else to help you with your question that perhaps be more suitable. But all that said, you know, MS services and the NHS cannot do all this work on their own, and support of charities like the MS Trust is invaluable. And they provide advice lines, podcasts like this, and written information. So sometimes answers to people's questions come from outside of the healthcare arena. Yeah.
I think that's so important. And you really hit the head on the nail there with, I think I'm guilty of that. So, you know, sometimes you feel like I should maybe let the MS nurse know about this, or I should call my GP, but they're so busy, maybe I shouldn't. And you sort of have the whole conversation in your head with someone, and then you kind of convince yourself that, nah, but actually you should probably do.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Because sometimes the conversations are really short.
Yeah.
They're not long, but... yeah, then you can get on with your life, and that's cool.
No, definitely. I think there's been a few cases where I've just sort of, I just have a question, dropped an email, and then got it back and said, I don't think you need to worry about this, but do this in case you do need, you know, if there are any issues. And then that's calmed me down. And then it's like, okay, good. And that was, you know, definitely. I think it's really important not to be too scared about all the media hype around it. So we asked this to Dr. Agnew when we asked her as well. But how can you stay as healthy as possible while you're waiting for an appointment?
Yeah, I think staying healthy and, you know, what I should be saying right now is what we all should be doing, isn't it? Is good, you know, doing exercise, good diet, don't smoke, only drink within acceptable limits. But my response to staying healthy is we need to think about long-term sustainability. You know, we don't want to have short-term gains. And individuals with MS may need to work towards goals. And I think it depends where you are in your MS journey, if I'm really honest. For instance, if you're a really heavy smoker and you've just got diagnosed with MS, this is one of the most stressful possible periods of your life. Yeah. And then a very well-meaning MS nurse comes along and says, you need to give up smoking. It's probably not going to be the best way to start a relationship or going to have lasting effects. Yep. So my approach is, yes, I have to share that with the person, that smoking is not a good idea. However, what I often do is say, look, can we come back to this at a later date when you might be in a better position to think about how can you give up smoking? Because my aim, again, is about being honest, but it's about working in partnership and developing that trust and layering and tailoring education as we go along. You know, I think in healthcare, we've kind of developed this, what I call an urgent expectation, that everything's got to be done now. It's got to be done immediately or even yesterday. And sometimes it doesn't help us. You know, it doesn't help us make achievable aims or goals or achieve things. And I think if we really are trying to have longer term benefits, then, and we're trying to change deep rooted habits, sometimes we need to take time and just not rush at it, I think is my
Yeah. And it's quite interesting what you were saying there about smoking, because in the same way as like stress eating or drinking, you know, all these things, when you are dealing with the maybe, oh, I need to talk to someone, or why am I having to wait for so long? And then it's easy to rely on these crutches, isn't there? So, and then feel guilty about it. And then you end up in a bad circle of eating yourself up. But it's... they often say MS is a marathon, not a sprint. And I guess that's the way to look at it with
health. Oh, yeah, that's good one. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying, isn't it?
Yeah. So here's another one that we see happening now and again. People who might not have seen an MS nurse for a long time, maybe sort of one reason or another. I mean, sometimes you fall out of the system. Sometimes you move. Sometimes you've been so well that you have felt like, no, I'm not going to bother and whatnot. But if you listen to this and you haven't actually seen your MS nurse, or you don't even know where to find an MS nurse, should you try to get an appointment?
Of course, I'm going to say yes to that one, because I really value what MS nurses do. But I think, if I'm really honest, in reality, it's down to the individual choice whether they want to see an MS nurse or not. And just because I heard you say there, you might not know how to get one, but the MS Trust do a really good website about MS services and in your locality, and you can find where your nearest MS nurse is. So that's a really good part on the MS Trust website. But, you know, sometimes people come into clinic and they say, oh, I don't know why I'm here. I've got nothing to say. Nothing's changed. And then we start to talk, and I start to assess, and I listen to what they're telling me, and I listen to how they're managing. And then we start to see some hidden symptoms, such as maybe fatigue or bladder management issues that in some ways they've been just putting up with and getting on with. Yet there are some strategies that we can think about and talk about that might actually help them manage those symptoms more effectively. So, you know, no appointment is ever a wasted appointment, because often we will find that there are things that you may be able to incorporate to live well with your MS, or live a bit better maybe. I just want to take this opportunity though to mention that the NHS has brought in a new system, but not universally, so it might be worth checking out if your service is doing this, but it's called PIFU, Patient Initiated Follow-ups. Now, this is where, and it sounds really good in practice, where if you want an appointment, you ring and ask for it. But you won't be sent regular appointments like in the past. We've all been given annual appointments or something. Now, I think, Helena, these will work really well for some people with MS. They'll really like that. Yeah. I'm slightly cautious about those people who think, oh, I won't bother them. Oh, I'm all right. Mm. I'm managing, you know. So I suppose my little plea today is just to ask people to check what services doing. And, you know, just don't always think you're going to be a bother. Nobody's going to be a bother if you feel like you want to talk to your MS nurse. Then please do that.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think I fell between two chairs, where they sort of moved the nurses from the hospital I was at and they moved them out into the community. And I was very much like that. I sort of didn't follow up with trying to find an appointment. So I sort of, it just kind of fizzled out. And then suddenly I found myself without any kind of MS nurse, and I realized, you know, working at the MS Trust, I sort of thought, you know what, I should probably be seeing an MS nurse. And then, and now I, all the way through COVID and all that, sort of, we're still, you know, had kept in contact with email or sort of telephone annual meetings. And I think it really does help, even though if things haven't changed so much, like you say, there are things that you don't think about. And when you actually get asked the questions, you sort of go, oh yeah. And I think it's just, it's since we are having to manage MS up and down. So I think it's just, it's just nice to know that there's someone in your corner, isn't there?
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's, you've just reminded me of some research that I remember reading, that Barbara Patterson talks about people live with, well, she talks about illness, but people will live with MS in the foreground or with MS in the background. And I think it's an appointment kind of brings the MS to the foreground for you to focus on it, when mostly you're living your life and getting on with it. And MS is not so in the forefront. So that's why appointments are important, I think.
It's very true. So finally, my final question for you, we're going to chat to you a little bit more later on, but my final question is, what advice would you give to someone who's just found out that they have MS?
It's a really poignant time in somebody's life when they get a diagnosis, and a diagnosis like MS, which, and I think there will be lots of emotions. And although I've already raised this issue of time, I think it is about giving yourself time. Time to, you know, think about who are you as a person and how have you dealt with things in the past? So, for instance, are you somebody who wants to embrace all information about MS and want to get out there and get all that knowledge? Or are you somebody who wants to delay learning about it? And you know, there's no right or wrong. I really must stress that. But whatever is your preferred way, it's important to acknowledge that to yourself and then try and plan to speak to someone like an MS nurse about that so that you can plan going forward in an informed way. An informed way, even if you don't want to know too much at that point, but you've made that decision and chatted it through with someone. So I think talking to an MS nurse at this point is really valuable. And I say give yourself time, as it's a bit of a paradox when you get a diagnosis, because although that's happening to you and you start to tell people and you think they're going to be all supportive, and often what happens is you end up having to support the people around you because it's quite a shock to them too, often. And I think sometimes those you think might be the ones who are going to give you the most support are actually the ones you end up having to support. Yeah. So I say that because I want you in the best position you can be in to go move forward with your MS and to, you know, incorporate all those important people in your life in the best way. But, you know, that all sounds a little bit somber, doesn't it? And I just want to sort of say, look, at the moment in the MS world, it's very exciting because we've got more and more treatments than ever that we've had to manage MS and the symptoms. And whilst we can't take away the diagnosis, and we know that your needs will change over time, the MS community worldwide is striving so hard to work towards strategies to help you manage MS or new treatments. So, you know, because we're all aiming that people with MS have advice and support to manage their MS symptoms. And one of my often statements, I have quite a few in my little repertoire, but this one is, I say to people, MS shouldn't stop you doing things, but you might just have to do them in a different way. And your MS nurse is a good person to start those conversations with.
That's really good, solid advice. I love that. That's brilliant. Right, so we're going to take a tiny little break, but don't go away because Lou will be back. Now, if this was a commercial podcast, here is where there would be an advert break. But as you know, we're a charity, so we don't do that. Instead, we would like to take this time and opportunity to tell you about our fantastic resources for people with MS.
Yeah, so you can jump on over to our website, so that's mstrust.org.uk, where you can see lots and lots of helpful information and resources for people affected by MS. Of course, on there, you'll see lots of information from our topics from this podcast and the previous podcast, which is to make the most of your appointment. So if you head over to the search bar on the website and just type in appointments, you'll get to a few different articles on how to best prepare yourself for that time with your neurologist, with your nurse, with your therapist, with an allied health professional, and also kind of some differences in terms of in-person and virtual appointments, what's likely to happen at your appointments, what questions to ask. So you can find lots of that information on our website, but we'll also put some links in our show notes below too, so make sure you check those out. But for now, let's jump back in to our interview with Dr. Lou Jarrett.
So welcome back. Now we're going to continue to chat to Lou, but we also have another guest that we want to bring on. And this is our colleague, Erica, who works in our fundraising team. And she's here to chat a little bit about what the MS Trust does in order to help support the MS nurses. So if we could bring her in. Hi, Erica.
Hello. Hi.
Welcome back to the podcast. Erica's been on the podcast before. I'm going to hand over to Erica now, actually.
Yeah. Well, Lou, I know that you've been an MS nurse for a long time, and I have seen firsthand how well respected you are within the team, because MS nurses flock to you for information and guidance. But I just wondered, over that time frame that you've been in the MS sphere, how have you seen things change as an MS nurse? Yeah, it would be quite interesting to get your insight on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you say to me, has the MS nurse role changed? Yes, in one word, it has changed. But I think we really have to look at the whole context of how the world of MS has changed. Because I think if you ask any nurse, has your role changed in the last 10 years? They're going to say yes. Yeah. But I think the world of MS has changed exponentially over the last 5-10 years with new treatments and just how we understand what MS is, how we could manage it with strategy, rehabilitation strategies, but also with the different drugs that are now available. You know, there's been an awful lot for us to learn. And I think for every sort of, you know, as all of our knowledge has grown, the MS practitioner, whether a doctor, a nurse or an allied health professional, has had to flex and try and think, how can I bring all this information into my practice? How can I develop my MS services to incorporate all of this? And I think sometimes that's a real challenge. And I think certainly when you're deep in clinical practice and you're trying to keep your service above, you know, your head above water in your service, it can be feel really quite overwhelming at times. But the MS Trust
how do we come into play here? How have you seen what we do support you in what
I think you've been unwavering over the years in your efforts to support nurses and how they work. But you too have had to flex and change how you've worked. And I think over the years, I've seen that you've run training days. Then you there was the Generating Evidence in MS project, the GEMS project. Then the Forward View document. And then now we're doing lots of healthcare programs. So all of that has been really timely over the years and really vital to helping us do our work in the NHS. But you know what? There's also been three constants, and I just want to put a call out for these because these are also really invaluable. So firstly is the MS Annual Trust Conference. It's a 2-3 day packed program where practitioners can go and update their knowledge and skills. And, you know, that's such a short time frame. So if I'm an NHS manager granting study leave, that's a really cost effective way of sending my staff away so that I've got a skilled and knowledgeable workforce. So that's really important. I think the second thing I'd raise is the development module for new MS practitioners. This week-long course with an assignment at the end really is tailored towards practitioners in the first few years of working with MS, and it allows them to consolidate their knowledge but also then be a springboard for developing their knowledge on for that. And you know, I remember 12 years ago I did the course and I did the assignment. I remember it well, but even though I'd been working in the field of MS with spasticity management, that course was really invaluable to me to just consolidate my knowledge and so that I could move forward as an MS nurse. So this ongoing development of new practitioners is providing MS services with an ongoing succession of MS expertise. And that's really, really important and wouldn't necessarily get if you were just in the NHS. So it's really important, I think, for the future landscape of MS care.
It's so lovely to hear you talk about that.
Oh, is it? But the third thing you do really well is your ongoing provision of up-to-date information for people with MS. So it's not just us. And I think, you know, in the world today, we're surrounded, aren't we, by information, but it's really hard to know sometimes what to believe and what not to believe. And I think as a nurse or a healthcare professional, being able to direct people to charities that you respect to know that the knowledge that they're going to get there has been evidence-based and it's researched and that they're going to get compassionate support is really vital for us when we're saying, no, you know, you can contact the MS Trust. They're there for you is really important. So I think the MS Trust really continues to be dynamic and change and adapt. And that allows us as practitioners to work really well and be as effective as we can be. So real partnership.
Oh, it's so lovely to talk about that. I mean, I feel really proud of what we do. The development module we've been running for a long time, and it's just invaluable to see the knowledge building up from early days of just how important it is. Knowledge is so key. I think that's one thing I've always brought in with the MS Trust. I can see it everywhere, that knowledge is so invaluable, but we're listening to people with MS and we're listening to the health professionals. We're trying to be the ones in the middle where we're trying to support both sides. And it's really, really lovely to hear you talk about it in such a strong way, because we're very proud of our accredited training. It's all university accredited. It's very sort of gold standard level of training. So yes, we are very, very proud. And knowing that it's valuable and it's really impacting people with MS in such a proactive way is, yeah, it makes all the hard work worthwhile. So definitely, definitely really, really good. I know that you have an interesting journey, because you, I understand, had an early bursary from the MS Trust as well. So it'd be lovely to hear how it sort of started for you, and then how you've now come around and supporting us with our development module, which is that training for new MS nurses.
Yeah. Well, I feel really privileged that the MS Trust has, you know, provided me with an ongoing development over the last 30 years that you guys have been around. I've been there too. And I've been involved in the initiatives I mentioned before. In particular, the GEMS, the Generating Evidence in MS Services. And so the service I was in, I went from one nurse to two and a bit nurses and an MS coordinator, because we learnt the skills to collect data that we were then able to present to managers. So that was really vital and important, and suited the caseload much better. So people with MS were getting better services as well. But yeah, you mentioned the education bursary. It's way back in 2006 now. But it was really a critical time for me. I was coming to the end of my PhD, but struggling to write it up. And I looked at my role as a spasticity nurse specialist. And the bursary allowed me to work part-time in the NHS and to finish and write up my PhD. So since then, the skills that I've learned through that, I've used in research, but I've also used it for publications. And now, of course, I'm using it with the development module and marking the assignments. But all that sort of knowledge and skill has sort of led me to this point. So I feel really fortunate that I'm able to give back to MS practitioners, but via the MS Trust. So that's really great for me.
I mean, it's lovely to hear the impact, because we realistically, the bursaries and all of the training, so much of it comes from our fundraisers. And it's just everyday people who are doing amazing things for us and just putting their hard-earned cash towards all of this. So it really, really shows how it can impact over a long period of time. You can train for one day, but actually the how many people you affect, and it's also that ongoing knowledge. Like you said, the whole scene of MS has changed so much. So using our DMD tools and everything that we've got there, we've had to learn as we go and keep up to date, but then we're able to keep the nurses up to date as well. And so that sort of checking in with your MS nurse that you were talking about with Helena, I think is so vital, because there might be that latest bit of knowledge that they've just been imparted with and that you might not have seen or not be aware of, because there's so much research, it's incredible. And to be able to get that just from like a snippet of a little conversation with someone who has been given all the knowledge, I think it's so invaluable just every now and then just checking in, I suppose, just to see if there's an update. And of course, MS changes for people every day, as you've said. So yeah, that's always really, really valuable. And it was interesting hearing you talk about the teams there around the MS nurse, because what we've seen is that we're getting other professionals join our development module and training courses. So it's interesting to see how it's not just MS nurses. I just wondered if you could sort of touch on that point at all there.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting, because if we think about supporting a person with MS, you know, that their needs can be very varied, and often we need lots of different disciplines. So the doctor, the nurse, the physio, OT, speech and language, that I could go on, psychologists, there's lots of people involved. So I think training together makes sense. And I think, you know, often, you know, if we're training together, we're understanding the nuances of working in a team and what each does. And that, I think, then enables us to engage better in practice. And then I think it fosters interdisciplinary respect, understanding. And most of all, you know, I think it allows us to move forward developing MS-specific knowledge that has got different aspects from different disciplines that come together to make that knowledge. And that's really powerful, I think. Yeah.
So, funny, I just was wondering about if you could discuss the impact on MS services and having the opportunity of training via the MS Trust, how it sort of helps to develop individuals into the highly skilled practitioners that we are seeing being put back into the NHS.
Yeah. And I think, you know, first and foremost, I think what's important is we can trust the training that the MS Trust is providing. We all know that it's being considered, it's been evidence-based or research-based, and that it's impartial, and that it is as current as is possible in this current sort of moving of MS knowledge. But, you know, it's up to date as we possibly can make it. I think the MS Trust partnering with Birmingham City University has really to develop degree modules has really, you know, strengthened the academic rigor so that MS practitioners are training not just to be part of an NHS workforce plan, but we hope they can be leaders and shapers of the future NHS. Now, why is that important? It's important because we need to keep MS at the forefront of neurology services and at the forefront of what is going on in the NHS. So I think that's really important. But likewise to clinical practice, we need to develop researchers and evidence-based practitioners, not just in medicine, but in nursing and allied health professionals too. And that requires a grounding in research methods so that we're able to take forward research, but also evidence-based through audit, so that we can continue to influence and advance clinical practice in MS care.
And I mean, everything comes back to the more informed the health professionals are, the more information they'll be able to sort of impart in the correct way for someone that is full of questions, and yeah. I suppose navigate that so that I think you can feel a bit of overwhelm with information, and I think you're a sort of wonderful place to go to for that, breaking it down, like the, you know, the podcast, it is that kind of thing, breaking down all those questions, all those things, and seeing not just the diagnosis but seeing the person as well and how they are living and helping them live in the best way. But you can only do that if you've got all the up-to-date knowledge and the information. Otherwise, yeah, you're sort of fumbling around, sort of doing your best. But I think, yeah, having that knowledge, and I can see the knowledge and the skill of the MS health professionals is just phenomenal. Very, very proud of it, the work and everything that you guys do. So, yes. Thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for coming back around and helping us with the training too. It's really, really vital. Definitely.
Thank you. I popped back in again. I love listening to you talk about that. It's so much passionate, you know. I love anybody who talks passionate about their work, and it just goes to show like how important educating the nurses is for people with MS, because ultimately, we as people with MS want our nurses to know what's going on and have the latest knowledge and know about the research and anything that's changed. So I think it's so important. And thank you, Erica, for coming on as well. I just wanted to ask you quickly now, because you mentioned that this, you know, in order to do all of these things that we're doing, as well as, you know, doing this podcast and information, we are, you know, helping fund some new nurses, we are educating the nurses, and we're doing these bursaries and things. That's a lot of money. And you mentioned that it comes from the fundraisers, because we don't get anything from the government or from the NHS, do we?
No, it's all coming so much from fundraisers and trusts and so forth. So it just is so significant, everything that everyone puts in. You know, we can't do what we do without our fundraisers. So that's why we absolutely love our fundraisers. And fundraising is so important to us, because it means that the more we have, the more we can do. And being able to put something on like the annual conference and have the development modules where we can really have that high quality, heavily researched, as Lou was saying, it's all evidence-based, it's all down to research, and it is all accredited, and it's all down to our fundraisers. So our Christmas appeal that's coming up from the 28th of November through to the 5th of December, it's just 1 week only, we have this exciting opportunity with the Big Give, which is their Christmas challenge. And for that 1 week, we can double donations, which for a small charity like us makes a big difference. So we have some wonderful pledgers that have pledged some money, and we have the Reed Foundation who have given us some money. So we have a pot. And then if people are willing to add their Christmas donation to it, then they can donate and they can unlock that much funding. So in essence, when they give us £10, we can turn it into £20. And the whole premise of the appeal is to try and feed it back into the training of those specialist MS practitioners. And that's the big thing. Our whole premise was to try and keep embedding that knowledge throughout the services that are there within the NHS, but we can't do it without our amazing fundraisers. So yes, from the 28th of November to the 5th of December, you may be hearing quite a bit about it. We will be pushing a lot on the Big Give. We are trying to double the impact that we are making and reach a target. So yes, it'll be very exciting to see if we can get there. We've got 11,000 pledged, so we're looking for 11,000 to match that. Yeah. And then that goes into training quite a few nurses for us. So it's it'll be really, really exciting if people can come on board and really help make a difference.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, well, you know, the spirit of Christmas and giving, right, then maybe don't wait to December, but, you know, do it now. Because it really makes the difference. So say the dates one more time.
Tuesday, the 28th of November from 12 noon. Yeah. And it will go right through to the following Tuesday at 12 noon that you can put a donation forward, and in that time frame you can unlock the match funding. So we'll get, you know, hopefully we'll be just like smashing it, and yeah, everyone will be so wonderfully generous. And then we have that where you can match up. Anything extra is bonus. But yes, it'll be very, very exciting to see if we can, you know, when you've got a target there, hopefully our wonderful MS Trust community will come together and help us get through that, and we can train lots more nurses so that they can impart all this knowledge. The impact that they have is far-reaching. The amount of people that they can connect with and give quality time, quality knowledge, that's really, really what we want to do. We know that it makes a massive, massive difference. So please help us do that.
And please help share the messages that we will be putting out around this as well. It really helps to try and reach as many people as possible.
Massively. If you can't donate, please just share with as many people as you can, and, you know, happily tell other people. That makes just as much of an impact. It's raising awareness and the knowledge, and sharing all of that will make a big difference. Thank you.
Thank you so much to both of you. I think this has been really lovely to listen to. Like I said, there's so much passion from listening to. I mean, Lou, you're very passionate talking about your job, but I've met quite a lot of MS nurses over the years and coming to conference, and there's so many that are so passionate about their job, and I think it's really, really lovely.
Yeah. So, really, truly care. I mean, that's what comes through, isn't it? Really, really care and want to learn and want to be able to give the best to, you know, for their patients, definitely. Yeah.
So a big thank you. And yes, please speak up about the Big Give. Thank you. And we are back. I think Lou is like one of the most passionate
people we've ever had on the podcast, and I do love anyone who is really passionate about their work. You know, it makes it, it really sort of shows how important she feels like the MS nursing is, but also I feel like, you know, we all know working here at the MS Trust how important MS nurses can be for people with MS and for people who don't have nurses. You know, people are frustrated getting a new at times with nurses, but we've heard some fantastic stories over the years how MS nurses have helped people. And I feel like, you know, as a MS patient myself, I do feel like I don't know what I would do without the nurses, really.
Yeah, it was really good to talk to her, wasn't it? And I was really interested, actually, in the way that, you know, she first sort of introduced the role of the MS nurse. And she said the first thing that she would say to MS nurses is to really focus on building that relationship with the person with MS. And actually, you might be with that person for a long, long time. So she said, you know, focus on that first before you get into all the clinical nitty gritty of the appointment. Like, that's the two people, the connection. That's the thing that's going to be a long lasting, helpful situation for both parties.
Yeah, I love that. You know, was talking about bringing people along, that they were saying about how you bring your children and things like that, because they do follow along the whole journey. And I do remember, like, when I had my first son, I sort of were umming and ahhing whether shall I try and get a babysitter or something for coming in, and they were like, no, we want to meet him, come bring him along. And I thought, you know, it's just lovely, because you do feel like, yeah, because they want to know how you're doing after, you know, after having a baby. And but then it's probably nice for them to see a baby too, even if he was a bit shouty at that first meeting. I thought it was really interesting what Lou was touching on there about almost feeling guilty about contacting someone because you know that they're so busy. But I had an injury to my eye earlier in the year, and when it first happened I thought it was optic neuritis, so I did sort of contact the nurse, and it was, you know, great just to have somebody sort of chat to me and sort of ask, you know, how is it, what happened, what's going on, how does it feel, and then sort of advise me, and maybe you should go to the optician and they'll have a look. And then I sort of, you know, fed back what was going on, and then in the end it was not MS related, it was an actual kind of injury to the eye. But it is just great to sort of have someone to be there and support you through that, because it can be scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly when you're early on in your MS journey as well, you know, you're likely to have lots of questions, lots of unanswerable, you know, points that you know, you've got worries about this, you're thinking about the future, thinking about your relationships, thinking about treatment. So actually having that person that you can go back to, have that relationship with, feel comfortable talking to, you know, whether that is online, over the phone, or in person. Yeah, it's so important, isn't it?
And we had the pleasure of recently attending one of these training days for the MS nurses, didn't we? It was a few weeks back now. And it's funny because I worked at the MS Trust for a very long time, but this was the first time I attended one of these training days because I was quite curious to know what was going on. And because MS is a tricky condition, then it's so varied and treatment option changes all the time, and there's new research around. So I think, you know, training the new nurses as well as continuing training the existing nurses is very important. And, you know, I would want my MS nurse to be up to date with all the information and everything that's going on. And since 2000, the MS Trust has provided essential training for every new MS specialist nurse in the UK. And as, you know, Erica and Lou were talking about, we do sort of support your wider MS team with these like residential training that they're doing, study days, and the biggest annual, you know, conference for MS professionals in the UK. So there's a lot of stuff that the MS Trust do for MS nurses. And I think that's great.
Yeah, and I'm just going to bring it back around then, Helena, to what Erica was talking to us about in terms of the big give and why that's so important to us at the MS Trust and potentially to the MS community as well. So the big give is a Christmas appeal, and it's an opportunity to, you know, donate. But with that donation, you're going to get double the impact Okay, so that's just for 1 week only. So that's from 12 p.m. on Tuesday, 28th of November, until 12 p.m. Tuesday, the 5th of December. So if you donate during that time, we have some pledges that will allow you to double that gift. So if you put in £5 with our matched giving, your donation will then be £10. So you can make twice the impact for people who are living with MS this Christmas. So you can head over to mstrust.org.uk/big-give, or just search big give in our search bar there. So what will that donation do? Why is that important? So you can support that campaign, and your donation will go towards the training of those MS specialist health professionals, the MS nurses, the MS therapists. And what they will do, you know, with that training, they're going to help improve the lives of people living with MS in the UK. Together, we can go ahead and we can improve MS healthcare services with you, with us, supporting the NHS across the UK. And I think it's important to mention that the MS Trust and all of that training is not funded by the government at all, and it's not funded through the NHS at all either. So it's we are going ahead and we are funding that ourselves. So your donation will make such a huge impact for us, for those health professionals, and for the MS community. So if you can spare a little this Christmas, we can double that. So go ahead and please do follow that web link. So that's mstrust.org.uk/big-give. And we'll pop a link to that in our show notes too. And if you're listening to this and actually, you know, it's past the time, it's past the 5th of December, don't worry. We're really grateful for anyone who would like to support the NHS in terms of a donation.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this campaign is really wonderful to be able to do that, because it does. We're relatively small charity, so it makes a big difference for us. So we've mentioned a few different URLs throughout this, so we'll pop all those links into the show notes, both for the appeal and, you know, for how that you could donate anyway, like Nick said, if you're listening to this a bit later on. And also all those important things about how to prepare for your nurse's appointment. So if you have any other sort of questions that you think that you would want to ask the nurse, there would be some suggestions in those articles.
Yeah, and if you do have, you know, you're thinking of questions, if you do have any further questions about MS, life of MS, being affected by MS, you can call our helpline team. So that's Monday to Friday, apart from UK bank holidays. That's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Outside of those hours, you can leave us a message and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Also, if you'd rather not talk to someone over the phone, you can also drop us an email. So you can drop us an email anytime. We'll get back to you between the hours of Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So the email address to catch us on is ask@mstrust.org.uk. And the helpline number is 0800 032 3839, and we'll make sure as well we put links to this down in the description and in the show notes too.
And I guess what we should say as well, if you are in that situation that's a bit of limbo land while you're waiting to see an MS nurse, and you have lots of questions and you feel frustrated about not having someone to talk to, do get in touch with us, because that's what we're here for. So all those contact details, that we will pop them in here. But yeah, do talk to us about any kind of concerns or questions that you do have. If you prefer not to call or email, you can also find us on social media channels. We have a very vibrant Facebook group. We'll pop the links to that one in the show notes as well, where you can ask questions. You can ask questions anonymously in there if you don't want it to be sort of public who you are. But so you can find us on Facebook. We have both a page and a group. You can find us on YouTube, where you would be able to find this podcast. We are on X, TikTok, and Instagram.
And you, yeah, this podcast you can obviously listen to as well, which would be on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcast, and Amazon Music, and other places where you would normally find a podcast. We really like it when you give us a review. It really helps us in order to reach more people, because, you know, we want to talk to more people about MS. We want to help more people make sense of MS. So all those little sharing and liking and leaving a review really helps us. And now I am going to go away and prepare for my, I don't have a nurse appointment, but I do have a neurologist appointment for Monday. So I'm going to make sure I get the right questions down on my paper.
Yeah, good luck with that, Helena. And thank you everyone so much for listening. And yeah, feel free to drop us a review.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.